Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading from Romans chapter 10. For the purposes of this sermon, I'm especially going to focus on the last three verses of the reading. As I mentioned to the kids just a moment ago, we do serve the Lord. We are on his team, but oftentimes we can disagree between our team and other people's teams, right? And so sometimes as Christians and serving on the Christian team, we end up getting a reputation for ourselves. Paul talks about this a little bit toward the end of this passage, starting with verse 11. He says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, lately as I've been spending my days driving around to see different sick and shut-in members of our congregation, one of the things that I've been really into has been listening to audiobooks. This is something that actually started a couple months ago. I was given a subscription as a gift for Christmas to Audible, which is an audiobook service. And so I started listening to some audiobooks, and it's really a good solution for me personally because I really like to read books, but lately I've just been feeling like I haven't had a lot of time to do it. You know, it's like maybe only the times when I actually do have time to sit down and read, it's like the end of a long day and the kids have gone to bed and it takes like all of 5 seconds for me to just fall asleep, right? And so this is good. I can spend my time in the car. I don't have a lot of time to read, but I have a lot of drive time, and I can spend that time engaging my brain with something, and that helps keep me focused on the road, too. So that's a really good thing. But anyway, I've been listening to this book lately, which is called The Righteous Mind, and it was written by a social psychologist by the name of Jonathan Haidt. And this book is all about studying the reason why we have such a hard time discussing things like politics and religion and morality, you know, things that are right, things that are wrong, all of those really big important topics that we're always coached to not talk about with strangers. This book kind of goes through all the processes of the brain, trying to figure out what is actually going on inside us when these kinds of topics come up. Really important topics, but things that can be extremely divisive. And one of the chapters I listened to recently was talking about how much power a person's reputation has when it comes to making decisions about what's right and wrong, morality, things like that. And the author proposed a really interesting scenario. Suppose just before you were born, you were given a choice. You could either live your life as a completely honest individual, completely kind, holy and righteous in all the ways that we would like to be, but everybody around you your whole life long will think that you're a scoundrel. Or the opposite. You could choose to lie and cheat, get away with anything you want to, you know, just basically look out for yourself all the time, but everybody around you will think that you are the ultimate example of virtue. If you had that choice for your own life, which one would you choose? Now, I think obviously as Christians, we all know that choice A is the right choice, right? Choice A is the one where we understand that we've been placed by God on this earth, and that no matter what anybody else thinks of us, God is the one who has given us his purpose for our lives, right? And so he knows what our words and actions mean, even if literally nobody else in the world does. And yet, I don't think it would be very shocking or surprising to any of us to hear that most people in the world, if given the choice, would choose the second option, right? It turns out that what people think about you, your reputation, is one of the most important factors that comes up when we need to consult something for guiding our decisions and our actions. So many people are just mostly concerned about what other people will think of whatever you say or whatever you do. And so it's interesting because Mr. Haidt in this book makes this argument that when people engage in these debates between opposing factions, you know, liberals versus conservatives, Christians versus atheists, Cardinals fans versus Cubs fans, whatever it happens to be, right? When we engage in these really important conversations, oftentimes people are more interested in the way that their arguments are going to make them look to the other members of their team than actually trying to objectively discuss a topic and actually find out what the truth really is. And I think if you just pay attention to things that are going on in the news and politics and around the world, you notice that this is absolutely true. Jonathan Haidt got this. He hit the nail right on the head. This happens all the time. So I've been kind of thinking about that, thinking about this really insightful way of looking at things going on in the world. And then I read today's epistle reading, especially verse 11, where it says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." And then verse 13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And it got me thinking about those two words specifically, shame and name. And not just because they rhyme, although that does help to remember them, but because shame and name are really reputation words, aren't they? I mean, if you live your life mistreating all the other people around you, if you commit crimes and you pay the punishment for those crimes, if you get caught doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, you're probably going to feel some shame at some point. You're going to feel shame because now your name has been tarnished in some way. A person's name is so much more than just the letters and syllables that make up this word that we use to identify ourselves, right? Your name has so much more packed into it than that. Your name includes things like your personality, your trustworthiness. Your name can even include all the other people that you personally associate with, family members and friends. Right? What teams you happen to be on. All of these things and more are all part of a person's name. Have you ever considered the fact that there are actually people in the world who have some sort of a gut reaction to hearing your name spoken out loud? Right? So some people hear your name and they might think, "I love that guy. She's awesome." Or on the flip side, somebody might hear your name and think, "Man, what a jerk," right? But Paul, in these two verses, these three verses at the end here, he's not really talking about your name or my name, at least not directly. I mean, most of this passage, he's talking about God's name here. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is good news. This is gospel. Especially for people who struggle so much to maintain our reputations in this world, to hear that Christ will actually remove our shame from us. This is awesome. This is wonderful. What a blessing. And since we're talking about God's name here, what's God's reputation in the world these days? Right? What are people's gut reactions when they hear the name of Jesus Christ spoken out loud? Truth be told, I think that we understand that lately we've noticed a lot more people kind of move from the camp of Jesus, "Wow, I love that guy," to more like Jesus, "What a jerk." And how did we get there? What happened to make things happen this way? I think one obvious answer would be that this world has been broken with sin ever since the days of Adam and Eve. As time goes on, creation continues to rebel against its creator. But if we look even deeper than that, we might discover that part of the problem also is that the name of God, the name of Jesus, is intimately tied to our names. Now, there's definitely a positive aspect to this, right? And like I was saying to the kids, we just witnessed this amazing miracle once again as little Emma Lou became part of our team, right? Welcomed into God's kingdom. Jesus Christ placed his name, his holy and righteous name upon her. And so that's a wonderful blessing. Anytime we get the privilege of witnessing a baptism, it reminds us all that God has made the same exact promise to us, no matter how long ago that happened to be for some of us. Christians carry the name of Jesus upon their hearts everywhere they go. At home, in the workplace, when you just go out to eat, or maybe when you go shopping or something like that, whatever the case might be, you take Jesus with you. You show people the difference that God has made in your life just by the way that you treat other people. That's how that can be seen. So, in other words, God has actually placed his reputation on the line by placing his name upon you in holy baptism. I mean, think about it. If you owned a company, you would only want to put your name or your brand on a product that you were proud of, right? And so in one sense, that shows you how much God thinks of you, that he is willing to place his name upon you, his creation. But it follows then that if any of us do not take that name of God seriously, if we do spend our lives mistreating others and lying and cheating and refusing to be kind and refusing to be generous, only looking to get ourselves ahead, then that's actually going to hurt God's reputation in the world. People see us going to church. They know that we're Christians. So if we sin against our neighbors, that's just going to give them one more reason not to be here on our team with us. Right? One of the most common things people say as to why they do not worship Jesus in a church regularly is because they do not want to associate with all those hypocrites. Now, obviously, we know, those of us who are here, we know that the church is made up of sinful human beings. We know that we're not perfect. We completely and fully acknowledge that Sunday after Sunday. But we don't do ourselves any favors if we forget that we are on God's team. And everything we say and everything we do is uniquely tied to God's reputation in the world. We pray, "Hallowed be thy name." But sometimes we refuse to actually live that out. After years and years of this, with human beings constantly dragging God's name through the mud, you would think that eventually he would just cut us off, right? He would just decide to give us exactly what we deserve. But during this Lenten season, we are reminded that, thanks be to God, he does exactly the opposite for us. The gospel reading that we had today showed us the beginning of Jesus' suffering in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And that suffering would lead Jesus all the way to Golgotha, all the way to the cross, where an amazing exchange takes place. Not only is Jesus willing to associate with us as sinners, but he actually takes our sinful name, our sinful reputation, everything that goes along with it, he takes it upon himself. And instead, he gives you his label of holiness and righteousness. He makes you perfect. He makes you worthy. And when he does that, he preserves God's name and reputation. That's exactly what Jesus does. So when God looks down upon you and considers you his creation, his gut reaction is never to say, "Ah, what a jerk." But God actually thinks you're awesome because of your faith in Jesus Christ, so much so that he wants you to live forever with him in his kingdom. You know, as we continue to live in this world where more people care about perception and appearances instead of reality, and going back to that book that I was talking about at the beginning of the sermon, you know, God has actually given us much more than just the appearance of virtue, Right? It's not like we're a bunch of whitewashed tombs that kind of look all neat and tidy and shiny on the outside, but on the inside are full of death. It's not like we're just putting lipstick on a pig here, whatever your favorite analogy and metaphor might be, right? But our Lord Jesus Christ has actually changed our reality. He's actually changed us so that we are perfect in Him. My prayer is that we would all take that to heart, and that we would live lives that are worthy of that name and that godly reputation that was placed on us in holy baptism when we became part of the team, reflecting His love with love of our own. In the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.